Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today is October 29th, 2014. The markets were down a bit today. The Dow closing at 16,974, the S&P at 1982, and the NASDAQ at 4549. Tonight, we're talking about technology and how it has changed the face of investing. So technology and investing and other related areas as well. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening. She will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. That works quite well for folks who might have longer questions or more intimate details about a question. So that is available. Again, we are talking about technology tonight and how it is affecting your financial life, getting it organized, managing it, and how your advisors are using it as well. I have in the studio with me this evening Matthew Petrozelli, COO and Executive Vice President at Valley National Financial Advisors. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
And Matt has been here before, so his voice might sound familiar to you. But for those new listeners that we might have, Matt, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. As you mentioned, I'm the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Valley National Financial Advisors here in Bethlehem. We serve three offices and 32 employees here locally, and helping them with their financial planning, investment planning, tax planning, and everything in between. So,
and I know the reason you're a great guest for tonight is because you've been very, very involved in a lot of the technology advancements at Valley National. So I thought you'd be a good candidate to throw some things at you and ask some questions. So again, folks, if you have questions about technology or some other financially related topic, you're welcome to give us a call at 610-758-8810. So talking about technology, we can hardly get through a day without some form of technology touching us, even for folks who are old-fashioned and say, oh, no, they don't like the technology. I think about the gas pump. You know, my mother's 84 years old, and she pumps her own gas. And, in fact, one day I said, Mom, do you pump your own gas? Of course, she said. And for someone who thinks she doesn't want to know anything about technology, she doesn't have a computer herself, but, you know, it creeps into our lives. She's using it at the gas pump, you know, using credit cards or gift cards, and she's using it at the grocery store. So quite often people end up using technology whether they realize it or not. So I want to cover how it affects the way you do business, how it affects an individual's interaction with their financial data, how you see it evolving in financial services, and ways for folks to get comfortable with it if they haven't already. So let's start by talking a little bit about, I like to set the table, Matt. So I want to start by talking about kind of the evolution of technology in financial services, if we can do that.
Sure. Well, the evolution of technology and financial services, it's come a long way, hasn't it, Lori? I think there's really kind of four main milestones in regards to how technologies impact the financial services industry. And the first being really the evolution of the internet, and access to information. We think back to the 1980s where there was a small pool of people on Wall Street who had access to information about investments. And what they did is they called clients and they said, I've got a great idea that you need to invest in. And for better or for worse, you were trusting that that information on the other end of the phone was accurate. You really didn't have anywhere else to go and verify that information. So with the birth of the internet, we really now have a lot of places to go and do research and back up what financial professionals are saying. Clients have access, investors have access to that. You know, the second major thing is kind of a consolidation of services. You know, in the 90s, if you wanted to buy a mutual fund, you went to a mutual fund company. If you wanted to buy a stock, you most likely went directly to Coca-Cola and bought that stock. Today, you can open an account almost at any brokerage house and hold any investment, mutual fund, stock, American funds. It doesn't matter what the name of the company is. You can typically hold it in the account. So consolidation and aggregation has really been enhanced. And the third is transparency. You know, nowadays you can really see, you know, accounts and in investments online. You can really see the price that you're getting for a stock, the price that you're getting in real time, the value of your account real time. That's really accelerated in the last 5 to 7 years. Back in the day, we used to quote stock prices in eighths. Now it's down to the penny. So it's transparent on prices that you're getting. And the final big hurdle is empowerment. You know, we're seeing clients being able to do, investors being able to do their own investing. You could be empowered. You don't need to go through a financial professional if you have the knowledge and want to do it yourself. And that information is out there for a lot of those people. There still is information that financial firms pay a lot of money for and have access to that retail investors or individual investors don't have, but it's a smaller pool than it was, say, in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
So long evolution there of what's available and how things have gotten more transparent.
And you also had made a good point about that it used to be, you know, a broker might call and they'd give you that information that they alone had. And it was also probably serving a much smaller group of people as well, because back in the day, the time constraints on doing research and finding out those good tips and everything probably only allowed advisors to work with a much smaller group of people. So one of the things that I have seen, even in the years that I've been in the financial services industry, is the technology and the development that has allowed advisors to work a little bit more efficiently. And one of the things that I have seen, which for me is a plus, I love people, is that the advisors actually have more time with the people than they used to as well. So do you see that as well? Can you give me an example of technological advances that have helped make your practice more efficient?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Technology allows us to scale our business to ultimately spend more time with our clients. That's what every financial advisor wants to do. They want to spend more time with their clients and less time on you know, data management and paperwork. So one of the major advances I think a lot of financial advisory firms are investing in is CRM technology, client relationship management software. That's really exploded in the last 5 to 7 years. And what that does is it basically creates a digital file for your clients. So all their information is aggregated in one source, everything from the type of investor they are, the type of portfolios they have, their family information, their demographic information. When's the last time we talked to that client? And if so, what did we talk about? So if that client talks to me today, I can document that conversation. And then if one of our service team members talks to them tomorrow, they can actually reference the notes from that conversation. So it's basically a client file that's accessible to anybody who works with our clients at a firm. And that's allowed us to really, really spend a good amount of time with our clients rather than, you know, finding information about them. The second is really portfolio aggregation technology and performance technology. I think a lot of your listeners probably have an account at a brokerage firm. They have a 401k at work. They might have a 529 plan for their children's education. You're going to three different sites in order to find that information and read through it and go through that whole process. Account aggregation technology allows advisors to bring that all onto one page. So we can see the asset allocation, we can see the performance across accounts, portfolios, households, transaction data in real time, and it helps us aggregate all that information. That's been a huge leap forward that I think is only about 3 to 5 years in the making, and it's really helped us work with our clients in a more holistic fashion.
Okay, I want to come back to that more when we come back from our break. Folks, we're talking about technology tonight and how it affects your financial lives. If you have questions, you're welcome to give us a call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about technology in your financial life these days. And I have with me this evening Matthew Petrozelli. And I have to say Matt because Matthew is your name, I know, but I'm used to saying Matt. So Matt Petrozelli, who's the Chief Operating Officer and Executive Vice President at Valley National Financial Advisors. So we were talking a little bit about the evolution of technology. Folks, I do want to get into tonight how technology is impacting you personally. But as regular listeners know, I kind of always start kind of broad at the beginning, and then we're going to work our way down into some of the details and the technology available out there that can really kind of move you forward, move your maybe your parents forward, your children forward, in how they're accessing their financial information and the advantages that is presented to you yourself and your advisor, and the advantages of working with an advisor as well using that technology. And then we're going to, as long as we have time at the end, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the new things we're hearing in technology, one of those being robo-advising or robo-technology, robo-investing. So we're going to get into that a little bit at the end, too, because those are, you know, some of the buzzwords we're hearing these days. So we want to explain that a little bit. But I do want to go back to something that Matt had mentioned when we were talking about the evolution of technology and how advisory firms have great advancements in what we call client relationship management. Some of you work at corporations, they have CRM, it could be client relationship management of vendors. But as advisors, there's also client relationship management and the importance of that. And there's regulatory reasons behind that, compliance reasons behind that. We can talk a little bit later in the show about that as well. But something you had said, Matt, reminded me, and I wanted to point this out. You had said, what's nice is you might have a team at the firm. You might have a team working on clients, and you know maybe an assistant takes a call. They could document something in the CRM system. Maybe the advisor works on something with the client. They document something, and then maybe a week later, the advisor's out at a conference or the assistant is out at a meeting or something. By accessing that client relationship management, you've kept that activity up to date so that if all of a sudden something occurs, anyone can kind of tap that and keep that relationship, you know, up to date, I guess, or applicable if there's some, you know, big pending decision or something. The reason I just find that interesting or important is because sometimes you might find that someone might be on their own doing, you know, people who like to do things on their own, their family members might not know what they're doing right, or know where they are. Or you might have maybe an advisor that you even work with that doesn't have a team that might be on their own. you know, is that going to be in their client relationship management? So it's kind of nice to have the advantage of having a team working on something that you don't have to worry, what if something happens to your advisor?
Right. Right. Yeah. I think me personally, there's nothing more frustrating than calling one of your service providers across. It's not just financial services, but it's anything. You call that number, you talk to Lori at one time, and you explain your situation of who you are, the problem you're having, and maybe there's some resolution or it's an ongoing resolution, and you call that number back 5 days later and there's no documentation of that call. So you go with the next person that you talk to is not Lori, it's somebody else, but you're going through that process of, oh, well, let me tell you what happened 5 days ago. I called and this was my, and you're basically repeating yourself all the time to service providers. There's really no personal contact or continuity. And what CRM's designed to do, and what we're doing at Valley National, is we want to make sure that every client that calls in and every client that you know, our advisors are touching, there's continuity there, and that we can, anybody on that team can pick up the ball and understand exactly where we are in the process and either resolving that issue or helping that person solve that problem or hit that goal. And it saves the client time and frustration. It builds a stronger relationship, and it saves our team time from having to research and go through paper and ask people and email people what's going on with this client.
Or have things fall through the cracks.
Nothing falls through the cracks. Yeah, it's all documented. And we've seen a huge efficiency change as a result of that and better client experience.
Okay, great. And then account aggregation. If we can explain that just a little bit. You know, it's words that you and I might be familiar mm-hmm. with, but I think it would be important for people to understand, again, that the advantages of technology, and a little later, I think you'll probably talk about the double-edged sword of
sure.
technology.
Yeah.
But let's just look. I'm Pollyanna, and I always look at the positive side of everything. So let's talk about the some of the other positives about technology, but explain account aggregation a little bit more as far as what that might mean for people who might be working, and this could be any advisor, working with advisors who have this technology available to them.
Mm-hmm.
So what is account aggregation? A little bit slower than what we referred
okay.
to earlier. Well,
feel free to interrupt me if okay. I'm getting too technical.
No, but you and I both talk fast.
Okay.
So
yeah, I know.
So we're trying to. Oh, and let me see the phone number one more time too.
Okay.
610-758-8810. If you have questions about what we're talking about this evening, and we're going to get into even more details. I'm looking forward to talking about mobile applications and things like that. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So account aggregation.
Okay. Well, let's use our example that we briefly went over before the break. If you have four accounts, you've got a 401k with your employer, you have a brokerage account with you know, another brokerage provider, which is a taxable investment account, you may have a 529 plan for your kids' education, and you might have a Roth IRA tucked away somewhere else. Well, all four of those accounts have different investment allocations, different investment goals. You have to log in or look at four different statements in order to evaluate your performance, evaluate your holdings, evaluate your cost, evaluate your transaction history. That's a lot of work. If you aggregate those accounts together, you can view them as one portfolio, so you can consolidate the performance of all four. You can segregate them into different portfolios, so you may put your 401k and your Roth IRA in one portfolio that has a growth objective for long term. You may take your 529 and your son or daughter may be 5 years from college, so that might be conservatively allocated. That might be a different portfolio, and your taxable portfolio may be somewhere in between that. And you could basically segregate it and say, how am I doing from an account level? How am I doing from a portfolio level? And how am I doing from a household level? You can click into each of those portfolios and accounts and evaluate your asset allocation, your holdings performance by position, and your transaction history, your contribution history. Where have I added? Where have I taken out? What's my net? What's my tax exposure? So I'm going through a lot of detail now, Lori, but these are all questions that investors ask on a daily basis. And if you don't have those accounts aggregated in a system that can easily slice and dice that information, you're spending a lot of time and effort, or your advisor's spending a lot of time and effort getting that information for you in less time working with you and your financial goals.
Right. So you can access one we can talk about, you know, client portals, because that's mm-hmm. another thing that's available to people.
Right.
We can talk a little bit more in depth about what that is. So if someone had this client portal, while the advisor is aggregating them and helping clients manage it that way, the client may also be able to look at it aggregated in some fashion.
Sure.
So we'll talk about that when we come back from our break. Folks, if you have questions, the show's going to go fast. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back. This is Your Financial Choices and your host, Lori Siebert. I have with me in the studio this evening Matt Petrozelli, COO and Executive VP at Valley National Financial Advisors. We're talking about technology and how it affects your financial life, your financial decisions, how you, you know, manage your financial assets, etc. So we were talking about from a firm level some of the technology that's available that has helped firms today, advisors today, help their clients a little more efficiently than what they may have been able to do in the past, hopefully, and hence providing more FaceTime personal interaction with clients because we're having to spend a little bit less research because we have technology that provides so many more tools to advisors. So we were talking a little about one thing that helps both the advisor and the individual investor today is something called account aggregation, because Matt, you had mentioned that sometimes different accounts will have different goals or different risk tolerances or different investment objectives because they're serving different purposes. You might have a retirement plan or an education plan or maybe an emergency fund, so you might invest those differently. And by account aggregation, you can kind of look at them all together, which is kind of nice, and see how they perform separately and then how they perform all together. So let's talk a little bit about, I had ended right before the break saying that while advisors can do that account aggregation, the individual investor may not think they have the tools to do the account aggregation. And they may not have the tools if they're doing it independently or on their own. They might have to go to four different custodians or websites to get that information. Mm-hmm. But let's pretend they're working with an advisor who has this capability. Let's talk about how they can also have the opportunity to kind of look and monitor those investments so they're not having to go to four different places if they're working with an advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure. So are you?
I'm asking you if you can tell me about how does someone get access to looking at account aggregation as
sure,
well?
Sure. Well, there's certainly, I believe there's some softwares out there on the internet. If you're a self-directed investor and don't work with an advisor, I think there are a few sites out there that, can help you aggregate if you, give them disclosure on your certain accounts. They're able to kind of pipe those in and bring that information in for you. Well, at Valley National, what we do is we actually have a system called our client portal. And basically, clients that have investment accounts with us, we use multiple custodians based on your multiple goals. So you may have an account with Charles Schwab, you may have an account with American Funds, you may have a 401k at work, and we have the system to aggregate all that information. And then we aggregate that, we password protect it through a special portal that we give access to all of our clients.
Okay.
So that's the way that we do it. So there are advisors out there like our firm that have technology to do that. There are also, I think, they're independent sites that will either help you aggregate for a fee. Maybe it's a monthly fee, maybe it's an annual fee, and there are probably some out there that do it free of charge. You just need to sign permissions in order to disclose your accounts.
And, you know, I haven't looked at some of those in a while, but I know at one point when I had looked at account aggregation outside of, like, an advisory firm, there was a difference sometimes in, like, real-time transactions or real-time pictures of their investments versus, like, screen scraping, if anyone understands what that means. The screen scraping is this aggregator software that might be available might just go take a picture of it, like, the day before,
mm-hmm.
but other people might be watching it while they're at home during the day. So sometimes
sure.
there's a difference in kind of real-time or 20-minute delays versus screen scraping.
Right.
Okay. Matt, we did have a question come in from Phil. Thank you, Phil, for calling in. And Phil's question was, wondering if there's a way to opt out of multiple privacy policies in one place. Now, because Phil called in off air, I wonder if it's also not just privacy policies, Matt, but maybe proxies. Proxies are not proxies, excuse me, prospectuses. When people make an investment in a new mutual fund, typically your advisor or the custodian or broker that you're going through would be required to give you a prospectus, which talks about a mutual fund and all the underlying expenses and restrictions, et cetera. So it might be not only privacy policies, it might be prospectuses as well. So that's his first question. His second question was, maybe it was a comment, perhaps a third-party website or resource to keep companies from sharing information instead of having to do it for each account. Perhaps a third-party website or resource to keep companies from sharing information instead of having to do it for each account.
That's a great idea. I don't know of a company that aggregates all privacy policy information, so you only have to check it once. Unfortunately, in our industry, it's becoming more regulated than less regulated,
mm-hmm.
and every investment company is beefing up its privacy policy, and privacy is such a sensitive issue these days that companies are really, really serious about it, and they want to make sure that clients are acknowledging it up front. And anytime there's a change in that privacy policy, clients read the disclosure and understand it well. Firms like Valley National have privacy policies, that are kind of one and done. For all the custodians that we use, so it's consolidated under one company. But if you have multiple accounts across multiple custodians with multiple advisors or service providers, unfortunately, you're going to get multiple privacy policies that you need to acknowledge. Now, Laura, you bring up a good point about proxies and prospectuses. SEC requires that prospectuses for funds that you purchase be acknowledged, as well as any changes. And by certain timeframes of owning that investment, you need to continue to get new prospectuses. They can clog your mailbox completely. You can select e-delivery and have all of that sent to an email address, and you can designate in your email folder prospectuses and have, you know, highlight those companies that send you all that information. You can have it automatically routed directly to an email bin and just review that in your spare time or read that when you can't sleep at night. And go through all that stuff. So there's clever ways you can use technology to minimize the impact of some of these nuisances. But unfortunately, because our industry is so regulated and privacy is such a key issue for a lot of firms, I think it's going to be very hard for somebody to aggregate doing that in one spot. But I think it's a great idea. I don't know if there's anybody doing that.
Well, Phil, that's a great idea then. So thanks for your call. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Matt brings up a good point when we talk about, you know, all of this paperwork and the privacy policies and the prospectuses and all the requirements. You know, and later we're going to talk about the double-edged sword of technology, but there is a double-edged sword with regulations as well. And most of us would recognize that after the Bernie Madoff scandal, and I forgot the name of the other guy who did it after him. And, you know, so some of this kind of the guy, where was he from? Florida, Arizona, Texas, the guy with the last name of S. Can't remember. It's off the tip of my tongue.
Stanford.
There we go. Yeah, I should have remembered that name. But anyway, so this stuff continues, folks. So as long as people have these ideas, these clever ideas to work around the system, that's going to happen. So what we have to do is, you know, abide by some of the regulations, because it is to protect the public. And unfortunately, it is the way. And as Matt said, if you can use technology, which is the topic of the show, to try to manage that a little better. Matt had a great idea. You have the email come in, get e-delivery, have the email come in and have it routed to a folder for prospectus. I forget about that automatic way to direct your email. We just kind of forget about it. So, Phil, thank you for calling. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening Matt Petrozelli, COO and Executive Vice President of Valley National Financial Advisors. We're talking about technology and how it's changing how we do your financial information today, how advisors work with you, and how you manage your financial information. I'm fascinated with this account aggregation, Matt. And again, just because one of the things that happens is I believe people are always looking to do things faster. It just seems like everything we do these days is just can never be fast enough. You know, we go on our phones, we search on the internet, everything has to be fast. And the frustration of when someone's maybe doing things on their own and they don't have this aggregation and they're looking at one account at a time and going to all these different places, and how do you manage it, and how do you, look at your portfolio and the investments and the performance. Can we talk a little bit more about what other capabilities or uses of technology you can use in the account aggregation? But before you do that, I want to say the phone number one more time, 610-758-8810. So beyond just looking at the accounts all together, which is a great, benefit, what else does account aggregation give you the ability to do?
Well, I think one of the important things it gives us the ability to do is it gives us the ability to rebalance portfolios across multiple accounts.
Let's talk about what rebalance means.
Sure. You could probably do a whole show on rebalancing, so we'll go through that really quickly. Through the natural market cycles that we experience, certain investments in your portfolio are going to grow or contract naturally based on how the market's moving. You know, things are going to bloom at different times. And, you want to rebalance your portfolio. Some advisors recommend quarterly, some recommend annually. It depends on what school of thought you're going with there. To basically just trim back positions that have grown a little bit too much and reinvest them in areas that might be underweight, okay? And doing that typically will increase your return and lower your volatility over time. For financial firms that have thousands of clients and tens of thousands of accounts, it's very hard to rebalance portfolios and know which portfolios are out of tolerance, which ones need to be rebalanced on a quarterly basis, which ones need to be rebalanced on an annual basis based on the client's objectives. There's a whole set of criteria on how that's going to come into play. If you do not have a strong rebalancing system, and the technology that I've seen evolve since I've been in the business, and I've only been in the industry for 11 years, the amount of rebalancing technology that has come in has greatly increased our ability to rebalance in a more detailed fashion, in a more tax-efficient way, and set alerts where we know when portfolios are out of tolerance. If you are set to rebalance a portfolio on an annual basis, but there's an adverse market movement or something happens within an investment where it really grows quickly or contracts quickly, we can get alerts on that portfolio. We all like to think that we're looking at our portfolio every day and we know exactly when to rebalance, but sometimes we need that alert to pop up to ding and say, hey, this is out of your tolerance range. When markets go up like they're going up now, you might be a 50% stock investor, 50% bond investor. But when the market goes up 50% over the course of 2 or 3 years, your stocks are naturally going to be a larger part of your portfolio than your fixed income investments because those aren't growing at as fast of a rate. So you might be a 60% stock, 40% fixed income investor just by natural market drift. Mm-hmm. It's very important that you trim the hedges back and you get that. You sell some of those stocks at higher values and reinvest them into other areas of your portfolio that not necessarily are underperforming, but you know, have not kept pace with the other part of your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So it's kind of the idea would be selling high, and it might not be like high top of the market kind of thing, but just where it gets out of balance. Like you said, trim the hedges where something's grown a little bit extra. You sell that and it's going to be a little higher, and then you're buying something that might be a lower, and it's not always because, as you said, a poor performer. This, I just want to kind of reiterate what you said in a different way. It's not necessarily because it's a poor performer, but it might be that time of the year when you're rebalancing, the cycle kind of, things ebb and flow. So it's kind of grabbing those opportunities from time mm-hmm. to time. And if you're doing it in a more periodic fashion, then you're like, oh, today I'm going to do it because the market's going crazy. And you're a little bit more disciplined about doing it using technology.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to kind of maybe take advantage of those ebbs and flows. And
absolutely. You don't want to confuse rebalancing with market timing. You don't want to say, oh, the market's up 2% today. I need to go in and rebalance my portfolio immediately. You don't want to be timing the market with rebalancing. It needs to be a disciplined approach. And technology can really help put that discipline in place.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some of the emotion out of it. And you know when you get that alert, you need to rebalance. And you're doing it in a disciplined fashion based on criteria that we set with our client based on their goals. And it's a systematic process that if you do over time, it's not necessarily to pick the winners and then reinvest into the losers. It's also just to keep your risk tolerance in check. So if we do go into a recessionary environment, you're not taking more risk than you thought you were. If you were a 50-50 investor, stock to bond, and now you're 60-40 because the stock market's done very well, and then we go into a recessionary period, you're going to have more volatility and downside risk because you didn't rebalance. And you're going to say, wait, I thought I was a balanced investor, but just by natural market drift, you became a little bit more aggressive. So it can also protect you to get your risk tolerance back in check.
Okay. A few things have come to mind while we're talking, and I want to throw those at you in just a second. I want to give the phone number again. Folks, if you have questions about how technology is changing your financial investing, how you're looking at your investment accounts, you're welcome to give us a call, or off topic or about rebalancing, asset allocation, financial planning questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So we talked a bit about rebalancing and what that meant. Matt, just a few words that kind of popped in my head as we were talking about that. One was asset allocation.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing you had said, I guess it's a couple words, the other thing you had said was tax efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So for a moment, if we can kind of digress off the technology, which we use technology in asset allocation as well, the asset allocation, the rebalancing helps bring us back to that asset allocation. And that asset allocation is what you referred to as like maybe the 60-40, 50-50 kind of thing.
Right.
Can I just for a moment talk a little bit deeper about asset allocation? Because quite often there are people out there who think that they are diversified or properly allocated by being 60-40. They'll say, I'm 60 equities, 40 bonds. But it's also much more than that when we talk about asset allocation. So can we just talk for a minute about also being diversified within our asset allocation of stocks and bonds, and the ability that we might have in technology and using and making sure we have a good asset allocation and what that means beyond just stock or beyond just bonds.
Right.
Can we go there for a minute?
Right. Technology now allows us to analyze asset allocation extremely deep. So if we're talking about stocks and bonds, we're talking about a very, very high level asset allocation. But within the stock classification, you might have large cap, mid cap, small cap, international, energy stocks, consumer discretion stocks. So not only the asset class, the cap weighting of that stock, and then the sector weighting of that stock. So you can go down two levels or three levels. You can do that on any asset class. So you might want to say, well, I'm 60-40 stock to bond, but I also want to know what's my actual sector exposure. What's my country exposure right now? I might be bullish in the United States, but I might be bearish in Europe. Do the mutual funds I own and the ETFs I own, do they have a lot of European exposure? Well, if you don't have technology to analyze that part of your portfolio, how can you answer that question? So high-level allocation is always great to know that 60-40 and kind of a radio discussion like we're having now. But in actuality, you need to be doing sub-asset allocation diversification, potentially country diversification, and even deeper than that, sector diversification. Financial sector may be outperforming versus energy sector. Well, do I have mutual funds that own all energy stocks? So you might be 60% stocks, but if they're all energy stocks and they're underperforming, you're not going to be happy with your rate of return.
And what made me think of that is, you know, asset allocation is such a huge part of performance, even more important than the individual stocks or mutual funds that someone is picking. It is in that asset allocation. So that is really powerful. But then the rebalancing layered on top of that, you know, it's always kind of like amping up your possibility of reaching your goals and your chances of success by making sure you understand all of these little fine pieces of it. And then you also had said tax efficient. So mm-hmm. We talked about account aggregation. We talked about rebalancing. Can you briefly talk for a moment about what we mean by tax efficient, maybe rebalancing or, you know, when we're rebalancing in a tax efficient way? What are we
right,
talking
on
about
on a high level?
You
know,
I'm sorry.
You want to be
details.
Very careful with tax advice. But, if you were to open rebalancing tax efficiency in a textbook, what it would tell you is if you're rebalancing your portfolio, you might have some positions that you may be selling that are at gains, and you may have some positions that you want to sell that are at some losses and offset those. So you're rebalancing your portfolio. You're picking winners, maybe selling out some losers and rebalancing that portfolio back to your risk tolerance in either some new investments or some existing investments. So you've trimmed the winners, picked some of the losers. You have you've been able to offset any capital gains exposure that you have in the account, and then you're able to rebalance that and reset that. If that stock position drifts from 50 to 60%, and then you need to sell that stock position, you may be at a much higher capital gain had you been trimming that position over time and rebalancing that. So you need to kind of, take that into consideration.
And with technology, you also have the capability of even drilling down into tax lots, possibly,
right.
And specific identification and sure. Identifying even pieces of positions
right.
That you might
that's
have.
Great point, Lori. I mean, you might own the S&P 500 and you may have purchased it 10 different times over the last 10 years, and you may want to sell 10% of that position. If you look at your individual tax lots, you might be able to sell a part of that position that has the lowest capital gain exposure. If you sell it all in one fell swoop, you may, have more of a tax exposure than if you sold certain lots at certain times. Some may have long-term capital gains exposure versus short-term capital gains exposure. Long-term capital gains is obviously a lower rate typically than your short-term, which mm-hmm. is your ordinary income rate. Mm-hmm. So typically that could be higher for most investors. So a lot of games that we play when we rebalance. Technology helps us analyze all of that information on one screen. If you don't have that aggregation and have that technology, you're in for a lot of homework, or you'll make mistakes.
Yeah, and let me point out, years ago, folks, the IRS didn't always know what your cost basis was or, you know, what different lots you bought, and anything pre, gosh, I think 2012, and don't quote me on that, but pre-2012, it still might be up to you to disclose that, even though your broker or your advisor might have that information. But nowadays, that information is getting reported to the IRS on purchases in more recent years. That information is getting reported. So when we look at breaking down and tax-efficient reallocation, you may have older positions that did not have those specific lots that are getting reported to the IRS, and you may not have been in the habit of saying, hey, advisor, I need to, you know, look at selling this position or this part of the position, my older one first, my most recent one first, specific identification, that kind of thing. You can't do it after the fact. You have to make those decisions when you're doing the sale. So you want to be careful that you're not falling back on, well, I'll figure it out when I do my tax return. That's too late. You want to make sure that you're identifying those things before you make the sale, okay? When we come back, we're going to round up our discussion on technology in our financial lives today. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and we'll answer the question from Kirk when we come back.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. The time now is 6:46. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. And I have in the studio with me this evening, Matt Petrozelli, COO and Executive VP at Valley National Financial Advisors. We're talking about the way technology is influencing our financial lives today. We had a question come in from Kirk in Nazareth, and he asked, do you have any suggestions about being an over-informed investor or customer? And the second question is, do you have any suggestions for sites or resources for learning more? The first question, and then Matt, I'll let you answer, because I'll tell you the first comment that came to me, Kirk, was, do you have any suggestions about being an overinformed investor or customer? I thought paralysis by analysis. So, you know, one of the things I try to caution people about is, you know, there's people who do these things for a living, and then there's people who do them for hobbies, and that's all great. But sometimes there's so much to know that we don't always know what we don't know. And even when I do this weekly show, I caution people. I love educating people, but I also caution people that sometimes you think the situation or the answer is what you've heard, but you don't realize it's really specific to every individual. So just because your neighbor had it or did it, or your cousin or your father or your brother, everyone's situation is different. So I really like people to be informed so they know how to make a decision and know, you know, what they're capable of. But you got to be careful, because sometimes it's just too overwhelming, and it's kind of hard to sort through all that information that's available out there. So Matt, do you have a comment on the first question, and then we'll take the second question as well?
I agree with you. I think, you know, you've got to have a high level strategy that you stick with. Know your goal, know what your objective is, and have a broad plan on how you're going to do that. There are times when you're going to want to spend more analysis on your portfolio, and there are times when things are crazy in the markets that you just want to batten down the hatches and ride out the storm. But just having a game plan and knowing what it is from a high level is usually good advice more mm-hmm. times than not. Mm-hmm. But having access to that information at the time where you really need to dig in a little bit deeper, knowing you have that, it's really important.
Okay. And then do you have suggestions for sites or resources for learning more?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, most of the major financial companies have a lot of information on their sites. I know Valley National sponsors a website called MyRetirementPro.com, and it's really designed to educate the public. A little shameless plug there for our site, but it's really designed with calculators and information on everything from retirement investing to investing in general to saving. Am I saving enough? I mean, those are the major questions that people are really asking. And we sponsor that site because we really want the public to be informed and have resources to get started.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, Kirk, that I like too is sometimes even it's a matter of just kind of sometimes understanding the terms. That's one of the reasons we also do the show. It's for educational purposes so that people understand maybe the terms and concepts enough that you know when you need more help or when you need to steer, you know, in one direction or another. Because I like people to have kind of that red flag, that caution. At the end of every show, I see be proactive, not reactive. So I think you definitely need enough information so that you could be proactive in your decision making. I know that we love working with clients who are plugged in and working with us and making decisions together, because sometimes we don't know what's going on in someone's life and it could make a difference in maybe a financial strategy. So it's good to have communications. Even a website, if I can even say this, like Investopedia, you can get general definitions and terms. And I think that's kind of always a great place to kind of start, to kind of get your feet wet with making sure you understand. There are a lot of people out there, Kirk, who don't even understand maybe what a mutual fund is today.
Right,
I mean, some people still don't understand that. So, I think you can Google a lot of information. You know, also, there are government websites, which I always strongly recommend to folks. FINRA. FINRA has information on their website. The SEC has information on their website. So there are a lot of government websites out there as well. Also, there is a past show that we did on your financial choices where we talked about helpful websites. I think it's one of the main banners on the homepage of, I don't know if it's the,
Your Financial Choices.
So you can look at past shows there. Again, sometimes the shows are kind of general information, but it's a great place to start. So I hope that helped, Kirk. Folks, if you have questions, we still have time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Matt, I do want to talk briefly about robo-investing before we, or robo-advising before we end the show, but can we quickly just touch on a couple other things that I think are important in technology for people to know about? We talk about electronic delivery. So earlier we talked about people can get electronic statements, electronic prospectuses and things like that. A lot of people are also going to paperless. We see it in businesses. We see it in our company. We see it in at home even. So electronic, are there, you know, opportunities out there in technology for people to store important things like their will or their passport and things like that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, sure. A lot of financial advisors and third-party sites are creating systems where you can electronically store those important documents. At Valley National, we have something called the eVault, and you can share that with important people in your inner financial circle, whether that's parents, friends, children. We have clients who upload wills, healthcare directives, powers of attorney, passports, tax returns, couple years tax returns, W-2s. You know, it's the time and when your life gets crazy and you need access to those documents, it's where you can't go to the safety deposit box, or when you have a flood in your house and all your documents are ruined, where you say, geez, I wish I would have kept these somewhere digital, or you're in Europe and you lost your passport. Mm-hmm. And you go to the consulate and they say, oh, do you have a copy of that? And you say, no. Well, now you can get access to all that information from an internet connection. If your children are listed as a power of attorney and something happens to you where you're incapacitated and can't make a decision, if your children know where to go to get those documents quickly, that doesn't involve them going to the bank and convincing the banker to let them into the safety deposit box, you know, those are all really, really important things. And we urge a lot of our clients to do that. It's just good financial planning outside of investing.
Okay. And that's a way that we're also seeing more multi-generational interaction. We see parents, grandparents, and kids working together more from technology.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, can we talk about the mobile app or the being able to scan your check right into your account in a minute?
Sure. Yeah, all major investment companies now that manage money have mobile apps, and that's really the wave of the future. You can use the apps on your phone or your tablets, and you can do everything, but, you know, you can make trades, you can contact your advisor, you can move money from your bank to your investment account and back. And the cool thing is you can take a picture of a check and deposit it right into your brokerage account, so you don't even know to go see your advisor or go see their staff in order to add money via check. You can do it right on the mobile app, and that's really cool.
My son-in-law did it with the wedding checks, the gifts. There was a stack of checks in their drawer, and I thought, oh no, they didn't cash any of their checks. And then I looked, and he had written on the back, you know, I don't know what he had written, but it was all electronic. He had taken pictures of all of them and deposited them.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really cool.
Okay, robo-advising.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with that? Because that's in every publication lately.
Right. If you're reading about new things in the financial services industry, you're reading about robo-advisors. So robo-advisors are really created by young technology companies. And what they're doing is they're actually taking the financial advisor out of the picture. And they're saying, if you're want to buy an index and you want to own it over a long period of time and you fit a certain risk tolerance that you're comfortable with, a robo-advisor will invest your money for you. The computer uses algorithms and other market data over a long period of time to choose an asset allocation for you. Mm-hmm. And they invest that money for you, and the robo-advisor rebalances that portfolio for you and does it for a very low cost. And I think there's some pros and cons to that. If you're a long-term passive investor who does not want any interaction with anybody and is very comfortable riding out market cycles with a computer at the driver's seat, then it may be something that you want to look at. If you like to, you know, sit with an advisor and talk about your financial situation and do financial planning and do tax planning and have a face-to-face relationship, I think the robo-advisor is going to be very tough for you to get over that model.
And there's a world big enough that we could see this probably working for some people and not others.
Sure. I think we're seeing a lot of younger millennials really gravitating to that robo-advisor. They trust technology a lot. And they're, we see some of them investing in that type of stuff.
Okay. So any new technology in a minute, again, that you see coming down the pike? Or probably the use of it more than we've seen. Do you see it ramping up fast, exponentially, use of technology?
I think one of the things we're seeing is, as you mentioned, is just a paperless world. I know at our firm, we are starting to roll out e-signature documents where we can onboard a client without him actually having to physically sign any pieces of paper. They can do what's called an electronic signature, and that is... you know, paper is really expensive today. Commodity costs are higher. Mailing costs are higher. Shipping costs are higher. Large firms are going to begin to start charging clients. Like the big banks of the world are going to start charging clients if they get paper statements, if they want to sign paper applications. I don't know if we're there today, but we may be there in 5 years. These electronic delivery options and these paperless options, even for signing applications or signing forms, are really lowering the cost of doing business. And as a result, it's compressing fees, which hopefully will be passed back to the investor. It should lower the cost of an investment relationship. So it's not meant to just serve the advisor. It's really mm-hmm. meant to serve the investor, too, mm-hmm. and cut down their cost of ownership. So paperless is really a big, big push.
Well, and Matt, I've enjoyed talking about this. And for the listeners out there, you know, there are many of you who may not have dipped your toe into the water with this, but we're going to see it more and more. And I think the more you dip your toe, the more comfortable you're going to get with it. And if not you yourself, in fact, I've heard that we have had some older clients that have actually said to their kids, hey, I deposited my check, mm-hmm. deposited my check by taking a picture of it. And the kids are like, what? So kids, if you haven't come into this world yet, it might be time, because it might be your parents who are ahead of you in this realm. So I appreciate getting kind of the lowdown on all the technology. And Folks, thanks for listening tonight. I want to thank the listeners for being here as well. Next week, we are having a pre-recorded show. I'm going to be at a conference, so we are going to have a pre-recorded show. Hopefully, Neil will help get that in the pike. I will be back on November 12th and hopefully talking about some solar and geothermal energy options. That's going to be an interesting show, looking at energy credits and saving money with what improvements you can do to your home. Very interesting. Hopefully we'll have some guests on for that November 12th. I'm still trying to nail that down. I also want to mention on November 19th, write this on your calendar, I'm going to have a very special guest calling in. We're going to have Jane Bryant Quinn, who's the financial expert and writer for ARP Magazine. So that is a nice deal for our local community public radio here at WDIY, and that tells you the level of recognition that we have here, that she's going to come on for us. Remember to mark your calendar November 19th for Jane Bryant Quinn. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. I want to thank Jeff, thank Judy Ann, and thank Matt Petrozelli from Valley National for being here. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.